1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. As the fallout continues from the end of the transfer window, Celtic get their striker, signing free agent Kelechi Iheanacho. Aberdeen continue to do interesting business, bringing in Scotland international Stuart Armstrong. And Kevin Thelwell speaks out, backing Russell Martin, says he's one of the best coaches he has ever worked with. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight, easily the best pundit I've ever worked with, and I have to say that because he's the only one who's turned up for his work on time, is Hugh Keevans.
Yeah, good to be here. And let me say straight away, Kelechi Iheanacho, you have to be kidding me. This is someone who turned down Celtic. This is someone who had his contract ripped up by Sevilla because they couldn't wait to get him off the wage bill. Someone who scored 3 Copa del Rey goals for Sevilla. Someone who went to Middlesbrough on loan and scored 1 goal in 15 games. And now Celtic are passing him off as the striker who will solve their crisis up front. Well, how did the Celtic hierarchy answer the questions of incompetence and negligence where their conduct has been concerned? Kelechi Iheanacho, I'm sorry, Celtic are taking their supporter base for fools, and the backlash to the transfer window will be lengthy and costly where Celtic are concerned.
See, we brought him in for his cheery disposition at the end of the transfer window. I couldn't wait till Friday to get his thoughts on it all. So in he comes, and he's meant to be joined by Simon Donnelly, who either is so disappointed at Celtic's transfer business he's hiding and doesn't want to face the music, or more likely he's caught in traffic, because out there, I don't know, well, it doesn't bother you, you walk everywhere.
Yeah.
The traffic in Glasgow and the West, chaos today.
I have a third option for you.
Okay.
Have Celtic offered them a contract as a player?
There is that. There were certain suggestions that things had got that desperate.
He was a good striker, Sid.
You never know, he was all right. Anyway, he should be here. I don't know when, I won't make any promises, but I'm here, Hugh's here, and most importantly, so are you. Give us a call, 01419511025. I think the fallout, the noise around transfer deadline day was so big, we could probably have just done tonight's show on it anyway, but it has actually moved on, because this time last night we were saying Celtic don't have a striker. Will they get a striker? Will they get anybody? Would you just take anybody, just get a number in? Well, that one that was suggested, Kelechi Iheanacho, was signed just in time. Remember, Celtic had to do it for the European squad last night. Hugh's been over the recent CV. I think everyone knows the name. Certainly it does come with a big profile, does come with a good CV up to a point. Hasn't maybe been playing as much recently as Celtic fans would like. Brendan Rodgers knows him. So what do you make of that, Celtic fans? Think about where your mood was last night after transfer deadline day. Some of the language we heard on here was very strong about your dissatisfaction. You now have Kelechi Iheanacho in. Does that do anything to improve your mood? Have you calmed down any, given maybe a bit of extra time to look at it in the cold light of day and assess your options? Or maybe, as sometimes can be the case, you've got even worse as the week has gone on. Let us know. How do you feel now looking back on it all? 0141 951 1025. Was that the right thing to do? Did you still just need a body, even if it's less than ideal? Was it the right thing to get Kelechi Iheanacho, or would you have just gone without and then tried to make the most of it until January? Again, same number. Give us a call or send us a tweet. Rangers fans, you have had some official communication from the club. There's been a lot of negativity, a lot of criticism about the start to the season, and understandably so, looking at the results. Well, the sporting director, Kevin Thelwell, has given an interview in-house today where he's pretty much addressed all the concerns that everyone seems to speak about, most notably Russell Martin. Says he's one of the best coaches he's worked with. Kevin Thelwell acknowledges results haven't been good enough. He said he won't call for patience, but he wants some perspective, points to the number of changes that have been made. Some interesting financial figures as well, because if you've been tallying it up over the window, you might be surprised to hear Kevin Thelwell said Rangers' net spend this window was £20 million. I think that's a bit higher than people thought it was. What does that say? Maybe there are some big loan fees that people hadn't taken into account. He spoke about Nicholas Raskin, clearly ear talks perhaps when he comes back from international duty. He spoke about delving in mostly to the English market. He spoke about the number of loan players. So there's been quite a lot of ground covered Does any of it make you feel any better? Are you just interested in results picking up, or can you see what he and the club are trying to do? Calls in, please. Again, 0141 951 1025. And don't forget, loads happening. We're 2 days away from Scotland's World Cup qualifying campaign. One man who won't be involved but has been over many games is Stuart Armstrong, and he's now signed for Aberdeen. Here he comes, Simon Donnelly. Welcome.
Come on, Sid.
Better late than never. I hate to break it to you. That's a new record. 8 minutes past six. You've smashed the previous worst.
Marvin Barkley was
probably. I think Charlie McGrew missed one as well. Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, I won't hold it against you.
I think what I say to you about Kevin Bellwell, I think a lot of what he says doesn't make sense to me, frankly. But Rangers are communicating with their fans. Now, they can draw their own conclusions. They can say it's nonsense or applaud what he had to say. But Celtic, in the midst of what's going on, as usual, not a cheap from anyone, and they treat their own fans with contempt.
0141 951 1025. What about Aberdeen's business? I'd like to get your thoughts on that as well, because I think there's a few interesting bodies being brought in at the last minute there. If there's anything else you want to pick up on, we are here for you. We've got a new manager actually at the Championship. Tony Docherty wasn't out of work for too long. Former Dundee boss, now heading up to Dingwall. Anything else, you know where we are. Give us a call, Simon Donnelly. Can you just confirm once and for all that you weren't hiding because Celtic's business was so bad?
It was option B, traffic. Although I would love it to be.
What way did you go? Because I had a bit of a mission getting here. Erskine Bridge. Was the M8 chaos?
M77 was chaos before I even.
Yeah, see, I noticed that.
Off at Dunbreck. I think there's been two or three accidents.
It's just what you should walk everywhere.
Well, no, I was on the. What was I on? I was on the 1541 to Balloch. And get off here rather than go to Balloch.
What is that, a train, a bus?
That's a train.
Okay, just double checking. Anyway, right, do give us a call. Simon Donnelly, do you want to give us a flavour of it? You have turned up for your work. You must know what you're in for between now and 8 o'clock. You might even feel the same.
From listening to the first couple of minutes there, Hugh's not a huge fan of the new strikers coming at Celtic. Listen, just a wee bit frustrated like every other Celtic fan out there that's, you know, you have that length of time in the transfer window and you're kind of scrambling about the last minute. I'm not privy to what goes on behind the scenes, but in the actual, I think it's a necessity. I think because, you know, that Adam Eder's been allowed to go, you look at the front line, I don't think there's any doubt in the guy's quality, but whether he's got the bit between his teeth, you touched on his record recently, it hasn't been that spectacular. I go back to Leicester and Man City before, 8-9 years ago, I thought there was a player there with him. It's whether he wants it, and you know, Celtic. Why would you not have the hunger? He's worked with Brendan before.
But Simon, if Celtic wanted him, they could have had him ages ago.
Listen, I think it's obvious that this is a last.
This is a panic measure.
Yeah, I think that's.
But to be fair, I see where you're both coming from. I think you're right. But then ultimately, once you're here, you then sort of have to do that, don't you?
Well, yeah, but I go back to my basic point, which is. Well out of form, hasn't been at the forefront of the game for a long time, and how long will it take him simply to get physically fit?
Let's bring in Archie to kick things off. Take it away, Archie.
Yeah, I'm just talking about Celtic fans here. They'll have to get a little bit of a reality check, because look at the championships they've won and the cups they've won under this board. So to slag them off because they're a bit slow in signings is totally outrageous. Because the Celtic board will give them their due. They might take their time getting players. The players they get win leagues. And I think the Celtic fans are really panicking because Rangers have bought a lot of players. Quantity means nothing.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong. They're not panicking because Rangers have bought players. They're panicking because Celtic have declined in quality at such an alarming rate. And they're now scraping the bottom of the barrel to bring in anybody they can find. Because let the transfer window pass without proper activity. They gambled on the Champions League, they failed. They gambled on last season's Scottish Cup final against Aberdeen for a treble, and they failed. So the Rangers, Celtic fans are not concerned about Rangers bringing in players, they're concerned about Celtic.
Listen, if you let me finish,
hurry up then.
If I was a chairman of a football club like Celtic, I'd rather have two quality players than 16 mediocre players. Don't tell me major players. Rangers don't sign mediocre players. Look at the hysterical of the fans. They're going ballistic with the club. And you're talking about that new Celtic player being unfit. What about Rangers signing their £8 million?
Archie, this keeps happening. This happened last night as well. Why is it that every Celtic fan who wants to phone in and defend the board or whatever just keeps saying, but Rangers aren't that good? Nobody has mentioned Rangers. The Celtic fans who are unhappy, and believe me, I hate saying this, I feel dirty. Hugh is right. The Celtic fans who are angry at Celtic, and I'll say what he said last night, not being the best version of themselves. You said, oh, maybe the board have been a bit slow at bringing players in. The accusation is that they've not brought any players in certain areas when it was needed. Forget Rangers for a second, Archie. I'm repeating myself from last night. This isn't about Rangers. This is about Celtic fans thinking that they are now much worse than they used to be. That's all.
The reason why I'm speaking about Rangers is that Celtic's only challenge for the Championship. That's why I'm mentioning Rangers, because that's the only challenge that we've got for the Championship.
Can I ask you, do you think that Kyogo, Furuhashi, Nicholas Kuhn and Jota, do you think that they have been adequately replaced? Should there not have been a fullback brought in when Alistair Johnston faced 12 weeks out? Do you feel that your club are addressing the problems that they have?
Yeah, it's okay saying these players have left, or they have left, but what's the point in going out and buying a mediocre player? Like some clubs do, I won't mention names now, that other clubs do, and they end up wasting money. Celtic board has been very, very careful in the players they bring in.
No, they haven't. They haven't replaced quality with similar quality. They have allowed the quality of the squad, the first team, they've allowed it to decline alarmingly, and that's why they're not in the Champions League. Are you paying any attention?
The Champions League's not the be all of anything. The Scottish Championship's the be all. The Celtic's not going to win the Champions League anyway. I know we'd like to be in it. Of course we'd like to be in it every year.
So you say goodbye to £25 million because, it's not really much of a competition.
Thank God you're not Celtic chairman. Oh, we'd want independent money.
Oh, we can all agree on that.
Yeah, well. Maybe Celtic's misfortune.
I don't know about that. But Simon, I just feel like we're maybe missing the point a little bit here. This notion that the Celtic board have been very careful. I'm sure they have in the past. There is no way, even the most optimistic Celtic fan, you cannot describe transfer deadline day as careful. No. That is not a word that you would use to describe a day in which Adam Eder leaves, no strikers brought in, Kelechi Iheanacho has to be brought in the next day as a free agent, yeah, who Hugh says obviously hasn't played a lot of football recently, where Yang is about to go, £3 million, yeah, he has to come back, Tineke you end up paying probably double what you might have paid at. That's not, it's just not careful. No, there's no point in
it. It's not by design either, really.
Of course it's not by design.
I mean, actually, I take what you're saying. The success, you can't question. But, the length of the transfer window to be kind of doing all that stuff in the last day, it just seems bizarre, to be honest. The big striker, the Danish boy who was at Dahlberg, seemed to be the target. Everybody was kind of looking towards him. His head was turned by Ajax, his old team, and then you're not left with any time to manoeuvre at all. So, yeah, I agree with you. Iheanacho, I don't think, was, by any stretch of the imagination, their number one pick. But what I would say today is, the position they were in, I'm happy that they've got them in.
What I would say as well, to calm it down slightly, is I think it is only fair that you give this guy, he might be good. You have to leave that.
Who are we talking about?
Iheanacho.
Yeah.
You have to leave that possibility open, because what's the point when he bangs in his 15th of the season and everybody says you were ridiculous for writing him off? I don't disagree with you in that it's clearly not ideal, but you still never know in football. Brendan Rodgers might get a tune out of him.
I fully understand that, but to attempt to pull the wool over people's eyes and say he was always on your radar, it's simply not true. Mm.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know if anyone has said that, though, have they? Because nobody's said anything.
Well, Brendan Rodgers is quoted as saying this big contribution to make to Celtic. Well, we'll wait and see.
Yeah, but they tried to get him before, so I guess technically...
And he turned them down.
Yeah, but if you're talking about being on the radar, technically that would be true, wouldn't it? If you tried to get him before, it would be the definition of being on your radar.
But not in this window.
No, I would not disagree there either. Well, thank you to Archie. We can agree to disagree. It is refreshing in a way, because it's good to know that not everyone feels the same. And Archie, and there was a caller last night as well, think too much has been made about the negativity.
I believe you young people call people like Archie happy clappers.
Oh, I wouldn't dream of it. Not me. No, I no.
You young people.
It's an online. I don't think you need to be young to use the phrase happy clapper, for what it's worth. But anyway, James is in Port Glasgow. James, how do you feel about it all?
I was just saying to the chat I was speaking to you, Hugh, when the transfer window shut on Monday night, that was a kick in the stones towards Brendan Rodgers. For all the success he's brought us, the board have no backed him up. And he spoke on Sunday after the Old Firm game, and he was pleading, we need to get a centre forward in.
Yeah.
What has went wrong? I couldn't tell you, but there's something far wrong, and I would not be surprised if Brendan decides to walk. And
well,
I wouldn't blame him.
No,
if you don't have success, fair enough, but you've got to back the manager, Hugh. You've got to back him.
Absolutely, and they have not. And I said all summer long that they were leaving him twisting in the wind and leaving him a hostage to fate, and all of those phrases came true. And that's why there'll be no Brendan Rodgers at Celtic Park next season, because I honestly believe he sees it as a moral obligation to see out the remainder of his contract. He really would rather be somewhere else, I think, but it's a moral obligation to see out the contract because of what happened the last time with Leicester City. But there is no way in this world that Brendan Rodgers will be Celtic manager next season because of the way the club go about their business.
Yeah, I mean, Simon, he has been very clear. Again, it was prior to the deadline day, but he's been clear that he would be here. He sort of underlined that, and I know people say, yeah, but he left before. It just feels like he has kind of said on more than one occasion he would stay regardless.
Yeah, I think he will. I think that even the player coming in today has played, he worked with him at Leicester. I think he will be here. I think he will be frustrated probably with the way the window went. And we look at the two Champions League games were a disaster for Celtic. The performance at the weekend wasn't very good at all. Those three games, they looked really flat. I spoke about it last week, about players coming in and lifting a team, and the same players kind of going to the well over and over again, talking about the likes of the captain, Maeda, Hatate, these guys who have been successful in the last three or four seasons, having to do it all over again without any assistance. And I touched on it last week. When I was at Celtic, albeit a long time ago, you loved players coming in each year because it gave you a lift. It brought your game to another level. It kept you on your toes. Mm-hmm. And I think they've lacked that to now. They've got the two wide boys in. Listen, these boys are 23, 24. They're not young lads. They're going to be there. They're going to have demands set upon them. Iheanacho has to get up to scratch. I know Hugh doubts that. But these guys have to come in and help the guys that are currently there.
What do you make of that? You know, Iheanacho is now in from last night, James. That's where the story's moved on. You think he can come good?
Well, if you've got two players on the wings and they cross the ball in, who's there to beat them off? Could be another centre forward.
Well, he would be that guy, that, though. That's the point, isn't it?
No, well, here's the point. On Sunday after the game, Brendan's like, no way is Adam Meader going to Swansea. Someone has pulled the rug under his foot and he's away. I think, it's just my opinion, I could be totally wrong, the board have said to Brendan, we're taking the money because you're not going to be here next year.
Well, the
I
point...
I know that might seem harsh, but that's what I think's happened.
The point
someone
is, James...
Over the club, they come out on national TV in front of millions of people and say, Adam Meader isn't going to Swansea till I get someone in. Now, when we heard that it signed, I thought, oh God, we must have got somebody and I'm still waiting.
Well, you'll never get an explanation because Celtic are non-verbal. Apart from the manager, who's obliged to make up things about what they're doing, the chief exec and the chairman are non-verbal, so you'll never know.
Thank you to James. How are the rest of you feeling out there? Some of the late business that's been done, added on to deadline day. Give us a call on 01419511025. Don't forget, every caller who makes it through on air tonight goes into the hat for a pair of tickets to Saturday at the Ladbrokes Air Gold Cup. Now, it's happening the 18th to the 20th of September. So much going on down there. You can book your tickets at air-racecourse.co.uk. But if you call in tonight, make a point to the panel, you go in the hat for a pair of tickets anyway. So it's a bit of a win-win, and we'll speak to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Hugh Keevans are about to be joined on the line by Robert in Maryhill. Take it away, Robert.
Hello.
How are you?
The Celtic Transfer Window Therapy Group there.
Been called many things, Robert. I don't know about that, but are you needing one?
It's an absolute shambles. I heard Archie there. I just can't understand how he can defend the board. Hughes forward, tremendous, brilliant. That's what we're all thinking. Peter Lawwell, 2018-2019, he appointed Neil Lennon after a dreadful display against Hearts when Neil Lennon and the players were getting abuse. He appointed him in the shower. How unprofessional. How unprofessional. We went from top to bottom in the space of an hour and a half when they heard that Neil Lennon was appointed in the shower. He went out the back door after a COVID season, came back in again. They've treated us Celtic with utter contempt. Brian Philip Cole and Craig from Moodysburn, if they were planted in the Celtic boardroom to destroy Celtic, they couldn't have done a better job. Absolute contempt. There is no way back for this board. There is no way back. Even if they signed PSG's front three in January, there is no way back. The next home game, I think it's Kilmarnock, the 27th. It's going to be toxic. There's no way back. It's just lucky they've actually got 3 weeks.
I was actually thinking that. Just a quick point for accuracy. And I'm here this all. Peter Lawwell's now the chairman of the Celtic board. He doesn't handle Celtic's transfer business on a day-to-day basis. No. Right? He just doesn't. But we end up repeating ourselves on that a lot.
It's not a secret. Peter Lawwell phoned me early one Sunday morning and told me in no uncertain terms that he's got nothing to do with the recruitment. So I've taken the call. I've said it here often enough. I've written it often enough. He tells me he has nothing at all to do with recruitment.
Robert's probably right, though, isn't he? I was thinking that earlier about, look, this isn't going to go away. This isn't going to calm down in a couple of weeks. But can you imagine Celtic played at home in 2 days' time, as an example? You know, we won't get the chance to hear Brendan Rodgers' thoughts until next weekend. Like I say, it's not that it's going to go away, but it probably is best that there's at least a bit of breathing space.
Well, the Kilmarnock game is at Rugby Park, not at Celtic Park.
Yeah, exactly.
But on that day at Rugby Park, there will be banners, there will be much noise, there will be sack the board. And the only thing I can say, please behave within the parameters of common decency. But also I would say to the board, what else do you expect, really?
Robert, Kelechi Iheanacho's signed since we left last night. Is that not doing enough to cheer up your mood?
Well, same as shoes forward, Gordon. Not a chance. Not a chance. Do you know what it reminds me of? A Basil Fawlty Tillers episode where he's running about with his trifle, trying to get his trifle, and he's hitting his branch off the car. They were running about. It was farcical. Absolutely farcical. Peter Lawwell, about Hugh. Saying that Peter Lawwell said in 2011 that any money taken in would be invested in players. That has not happened. It's utter rubbish. I don't believe what he said. And also as well, does you actually think that Peter Lawwell had actually anything to do with Mark Lawwell's recruitment? Because if he doesn't, then...
No, the veer away from the subject of Peter Lawwell
He would just say no, and what's the point? Like, yeah. I can tell you that Peter Lawwell's the chairman and he doesn't do the day-to-day recruitment, and you don't have to believe me. That's the beauty of it. I don't feel strongly enough I don't want to sit here and try and convince anybody. It's just an accuracy point.
It's like we agreed last Sunday, Gordon, after the Rangers Celtic game. There's no point in going on and on and on about how bad a game it was. Let's discuss.
Was bad, the way.
Oh yeah, shocking. But let's discuss where we go from here in both cases. So Mark Lawwell has been and gone. What is of concern now is that since the Scottish Cup final on the 24th of May, where glaring problems were red flagged, Celtic have done nothing about it and have subsequently failed to qualify for the Champions League and have had an embarrassing transfer window, which has now created serious unrest within their own support. So I'm taking my stance from May 24 this year, from the loss of the cup final and therefore the loss of a treble, until today, the 3rd of September, Celtic have made an absolute mess of their business.
I suppose, at the very, very least, Simon, what the Iheanacho thing does is it takes away the numbers argument. Because I think that was the most alarming, you know, when we spoke last night. Because it was, forget about pushing on, forget about trying to take Celtic to the next level. At this stage last night, we were talking about a striker's gone out and you've not brought one in. Yeah. And that's on the back of Kyogo. So you could say Kyogo hasn't been replaced in quality terms, but Ida's gone, Iheanacho's in. Kuhn has gone, Tuneke and Balikwisha have come in. So now it is at least back to the quality, and we can only tell that in time. They might be brilliant, they might be terrible, they might be somewhere in between. So we'll just need to wait and see what the quality is like, because the numbers are now at least in the attacking area. The level, I think, you know, they're
I don't know if the word relief is correct, but I was happy that they'd brought a striker in this morning. I was, because out with that, you're looking at Maeda again there. Johnny Kenny's had a little bit of a chance, not a lot of game time. But yeah, they lost Adam Ida. Adam Ida was taking a bit of criticism. He hadn't started the season very well. He looked as if he needed a goal or two to get his confidence going. He's away. As you say, it becomes a numbers game a little bit. Iheanacho, listen, I'm not going to put my neck in the line, but he is a quality player. He's 28, turning 29 next month, is that right? It's whether he's got the hunger still to go and do it. Now, Brendan Rodgers has worked with him before.
Just not played a lot of football, though, has he?
No, he hasn't. He hasn't. And it's a last-minute.com.
Just to go back to
get him in.
Kyogo, Kuhn and Adam Ida.
Mm-hmm.
Last season, 73 goals in all competitions.
Yeah.
Kyogo, Kuhn, Ida. 73 goals. That's now gone out of the club.
Yeah.
And you have a variety of projects, experiments.
No, but that to be fair, right, this is where I think we do need to be fair. Right now, we've got no idea. Nicholas Kuhn was bought in for $3.5 million. You know fine well he was written off at first, and we had a guy on saying he wasn't going to be any good. So we must at least leave the possibility that Balikwisha eventually scores the goals Kuhn does.
Well, let me just say then, there is where the bar is set.
Yeah.
Kyogo, Kuhn, Ida, 73 goals last season.
Mm. Paul is on the other line. Paul, how do you reflect on this?
Evening panel, I think you're probably doing better than I am. I can't believe the things I'm hearing the past couple of nights where there's actually supporters backing this board. I know they're saying that we've won this many trophies and what have you, but let's not forget, Brendan Rodgers is one of the most decorated managers in Celtic history, and he's not going to be here at the end of the season. He's won every trophy in Scotland four times over, and what else has he got to do here? He's already made it clear that he's not here to maintain the status quo. He's obviously got ambition to go on and do well in the Champions League. We've done great against Bayern Munich. We had a great term last season. Now he's going to go. He's gone.
Yep.
Now, what's going to attract a potential big-name manager to come to Celtic when he leaves? Because there's no guaranteed Champions League anymore. They know that there's a board who are not going to be willing to back them. And they've chased out one of the best managers they've ever had.
The other point,
I just want to see, the number of calamitous decisions this board has made has jeopardised the future of this club.
The other point I'd make to you, Paul, would you trust this board to pick a manager?
This isn't like Ange Postecoglou, who was coming in off the back of his losing 10 in a row, who could only take things up a gear. Who would they bring in? Ange Postecoglou was an anomaly. It's more who's going to want to come. And if they do want to come, is that the person we really... Is that the only person that the board can get, the same way as this is the only striker we can get?
I do understand your point that, you know, if you're an outsider looking in, you're looking at a support now in a serious state of unrest. You're looking at a team who have lost its quality players. Other areas of the side are in drastic need of overhaul. The whole operation has slid into a state of disrepair. And anyone looking in from the outside might think, I think I'll look elsewhere, thank you.
To be fair, Simon, this is, I think, where we sometimes do go over top, over the board. You're still looking at a big club, a successful club.
Well, I was going to say, they're still the strongest squad. I know.
Who's got great access to winning things, who's still got access to European competition, albeit not guaranteed. I don't think there'll be a shortage of candidates, right? I just don't think that's the way it works. However, do you, in the shorter term, because why are we worrying about who's going to take the managerial job in June? What happens between now and then? Do you think, has the window damaged your belief that Celtic will win the league in any way?
Not for me personally.
Hasn't damaged it at all?
No.
Not taking any percentage off it?
I still think they have the strongest squad. I think Rangers bringing in Majovski, I've been on the show months ago saying that I would have liked Celtic to go for him when he was at Aberdeen. I thought he was one of the top strikers in the league. He's went to Girona. For whatever reason, it's not worked out. I think he's a good signing for Rangers. I don't know much about the other ones that they've brought in on the window. I acknowledge Hearts have started well. They've come back in a couple of games against your team and then late goals at the weekend against Livingston. But I still think Celtic have the strongest. I think where the frustration is with the Celtic support, I think they feel they should be even further.
You
ahead.
Did tip Celtic to win the league before a ball was kicked, Hugh.
Correct.
Has the transfer window changed that for you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think they'll win the league?
I think
you got Hearts to win it now, do you?
No, I think, you know, I'm dubious now because this alarming decline has been allowed to take place, and I fully understand that the signings have to be assessed. Balakwisha, Tunekti, who incidentally Hammarby bought in February for $1 million and got 500% profit by selling him to Celtic 8 months later.
Maybe it means he's brilliant.
Or it smacks of Celtic and the transfer window about to close and panic.
Yeah, I know what you mean. We also can't have that both ways, because if Celtic did that and flipped a player for the big profit, we would just say they've done such a great job on it. We probably wouldn't criticise the buying club. Paul, how far are you going in your concern? Celtic's title credentials damaged for you in any way, or is that going too far?
The complacency of the board and not backing us in the last two windows has really made me worried. When you look at, as Sid said there about bringing in Majovski, what a striker, why would we not have went for him? And we are a couple of injuries away from catastrophe, and the signings we've brought in are not proven. So we bated breath, if I'm perfectly honest with you, because all it takes is for those players that Rangers have brought in to click. Hearts are doing half decent just now. Can they maintain it? Will they drop off like Aberdeen done last year? Who knows? But Celtic have not done what they need to do to ensure that they are going to win the league this year.
Okay, it's I think a balanced way of putting it. Thank you very much to Paul. Let me tell you about this before we move on.
The Cash for Kids Sports Challenge.
Cash for Kids Sports Challenge is back. It's a unique fundraising competition. We're raising money to help give all children across Glasgow, the West and Ayrshire the chance to get involved in their favourite sport. Because for children from low income families or for those with additional needs, unfortunately, access to play sport can be pretty difficult. It's something that lots of us might take for granted, and we all know the benefits getting active can bring. So this challenge is about breaking down those barriers and trying to get every child involved. What to do? This is where you can step up and help us. Get your local sports team, group, club, whatever it may be, to sign up. You fundraise for a month. So you raise money for a month, and after that, Cash for Kids then grants back to you 100% of the money that you've already raised. So they'll also have extra funding worth thousands of pounds to win for those who manage to raise the most. So a bit of competition in there. If you want to find out more and sign up, please do at Clyde1.com. Give us a call right now as well. Kevin Thelwell has spoken out after Rangers' poor start to the season and the transfer window. We'll take a look at his comments when we return.
141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
The phone lines are still red hot on Celtic's transfer business, but let's take a look at some of the other stories doing the rounds just for now. I'm sure we can go back to it if you have that desire. Kevin Thelwell, Rangers Sporting Director, has spoken today, addressed a number of topics, pretty much all the topics that the Rangers fans have been wondering about the season so far, the recruitment, the Nicholas Raskin situation, the money spent, etc., etc. So you kind of touched on quite a lot of it in Rangers in-house media. I think the one that's probably got most of the headlines is what he had to say on the manager, Russell Martin, or the head coach, I should say. Let's hear his answer on that one.
Yeah, well, clearly must do better. Let's be honest. In reality, what we've delivered so far hasn't been good enough. And I think we all understand that that needs to improve, and we're all frustrated with that. But also, I would also say to you, there is a huge amount of alignment within this building, and there's a huge amount of alignment with leadership team and ownership that believes that we're heading in the right direction and believes that we can deliver that success that everybody is craving with the group of people that we're currently working with. And so on that basis, we'll be working tirelessly and working as hard as we possibly can to deliver that. And I also appreciate that needs to be delivered quickly. What I can't do is I can't sit here and say we need patience and we need time and people need to wait, because we haven't earned that. But there just needs to be some perspective. And so all I can say to you is we'll be working as hard as we possibly can to deliver what we know that everybody wants, which is a winning and successful team.
There's also another bit where he said, you know, he's the best coaches, or one of the best coaches he's ever seen, and so on. Joe is on the line. Joe, what did you make of that? It was quite a lot of communication from Kevin Thelwell. Did you take anything from it?
Good evening, panel. Absolute drivel. Absolute drivel for me. It was an apology video that he's obviously been told to do, to apologise to the Rangers fans for the absolute nonsense that they've served up over the last couple of months. These key buzzwords that they use, humility, bravery, intensity, all that nonsense, I'm tired of hearing it. I am tired of hearing it. Him and Russell Martin must sit in a room, and I don't know if they play Scrabble or something before they do these interviews or come out in these press conferences and fire these words at everybody as if everybody else is stupid and we can't actually see what's going on. The Rangers fans, again this season, we all knew this was going to be a rebuild. I mean, we all knew this, and I wasn't for a minute expecting us to be challenging for the title, but I expected more of a challenge, if that makes sense. I didn't expect us to be 6 points behind so little and so early in the season. I thought we would have seen signs of some sort of what it is he's trying to do. I mean, you're sitting in Ibrox, champ. I'm a season ticket holder, been going for over 35 years. I've said many times, you're sitting in that stand and you cannot work out what he's doing. Now, on Sunday, credit where credit's due, I thought he got his team right. I thought we looked better. Yes, we had no chances on goal, which is obviously unacceptable. But I thought the team looked a bit more balanced and better. I don't think Kevin Thelwell realises that, for me, it's not just Russell Martin whose neck is on the line. It's him as well. If Russell Martin gets his jotters, Kevin Thelwell should be helping him clear out his office, and the two of them should be carrying their stuff to their cars at the same time. Kevin,
I agree with Joe with regard to the corporate speak. I think Joe's right there. Joe wants punter speak. He doesn't want corporate speak. He doesn't want them talking about a huge amount of alignment. That means nothing to supporters. I disagree with Joe when he says that Russell Martin picked his best team. Nico Raskin wasn't in it, therefore it wasn't his best team. But I take Joe's point. They don't want to hear corporate speak. They don't want to hear about leadership teams. They want to see a better team on the park and more exciting football.
See, and this is, I've liked Joe's call because it's maybe opened my eyes to how I'll obviously see this differently, with Joe being a Rangers fan and he's got the emotion there, and he's really interested in the results. And then if the results aren't good, nothing else can be good. Do you know what I mean by that?
Whereas
actually, maybe it's just because of doing this job, I just thought it was a decent piece of communication, just in the sense that most other clubs, a lot of other clubs wouldn't do it, just wouldn't bother. The number of topics that were put to him, you know, he was essentially asked, and again, would I prefer he came on here or sat down with newspapers or whatever, and then you can really press him and it's not in-house media, I get all that. But he was asked, why have you used English market so much? What's happening with Russell Martin? Mm-hmm. Why have you signed so many loan players? So I still thought it was about as good as it could be, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say. But fans, and then this is where fans will be different, say, well, I don't care, because I just want to see more on the pitch.
Yeah, listen, I can take Joe's point. Up until the weekend, I actually thought the first half Rangers showed a wee bit more aggression than they had in any other games that I'd watched, which people out there who argue that should be a given. But I certainly thought they kind of tried to get at Celtic and make it uncomfortable for them in the first half without really creating anything at all. They had the offside goal, obviously. But yeah, I just think Joe and Rangers fans want, they want wins and they want performances.
Joe, I'll bet you'd love to hear what Graham Souness thought about the game when he was sitting there.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely, Hugh. I mean, that's what we're sadly missing. We're missing somebody like a Graham Souness or a Walter Smith. I mean, if you believe the stories about Nico Raskin gobbing off and all the rest of it, can you imagine Raskin gobbing off at Graham Souness or Walter Smith? His feet when he touched the floor.
I've tried it myself. I know how you end up.
But even going back to Gordon, what you were saying there. Now, if Kevin Fellwell knows the English market, that's fine. I couldn't care less if he brought every single player from England up here. It's not what we've... I don't care where they come from, nationality, anything. I couldn't care less, as long as they are good enough to play for Rangers. Now, these key buzzwords they're using, again, bravery, integrity, blah, blah, blah. Surely they must be doing background checks on these players before they come up to see if they are the right character to play for Rangers. Because let's be honest, not all these players can come to Glasgow and play for Celtic or Rangers. We've seen so many times in the past where you get someone in who's good elsewhere, comes to Glasgow for Celtic or Rangers, and the jersey's far too heavy for them.
Yeah.
You don't only need to be a good player, you need to be a good type of character, and you need to have the shoulders to carry this on.
Well, that was something he said, because again, he was asked why so many loan players, essentially. And he kind of said, well, you know, sometimes you do a loan with an option to buy, an obligation to buy, and that's actually quite good because you kind of trying before you buy. And he said that maybe you find out that the player actually can't handle it, and then it's good that you haven't got them in a 4-year deal. He said, you know, straight loans he's not necessarily a fan of, but it sometimes gives you access to players that you can't otherwise get.
To actually, how can you test if that player can handle? I know what Joe's saying there about playing for a Celtic or a Rangers. I look at the Rangers games at the start of this season, and I think Russell Martin touched on it in the Bruges game last. When something goes wrong, it goes wrong very quickly. They kind of, I mean, the game at home as well, one mistake after another, they kind of folded quite quickly.
Because Joe's saying he doesn't care what market they're in as long as they're good. But that was, I actually think that's one of the comments that's brought a bit of criticism from some of the Rangers fans I've seen online to Kevin Fellwell, because he basically admitted that they had such a big job to do so quickly that, well, he and Dan Purdy, they know the English market, so that's why they've used the English market. And he said that, you know, in time, maybe you look out, but it was players that we, you know, thought we could, I'm paraphrasing, but you could trust and were more of a guarantee. The Rangers fans are saying, so Max Aarons, are you telling me you thought he was a sure thing? Did you think Joe Rothwell was a sure thing?
But the actual concept of going to a market that you know well is, for me, logical and perfectly understandable. Ange Postecoglou's whole time at Celtic was built on coming in straight away and discovering or knowing about a couple of outstanding, or a trio of outstanding players called Hatate, Furuhashi and Maeda.
But I think there's a perception that you don't get value in the English market as well, so it's that extra risk, perhaps.
Well,
you know, like financially, those three were, in fact, they were the opposite. You know, they were nowhere near a risk.
Yeah, of course, But it was still what Ange Postecoglou knew.
Yeah.
And if Fellwell and Russell Martin, for that matter, have only known English football, I think it's understandable that they go there first. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you, Joe. If you have any thoughts, please get them in. We'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. Let's have a bit of fun for 5 minutes and see if we can finally give away one of the new Beat the Pundit coins.
Yeah.
If there's one man that will give you one this season, it is Simon Donnelly. The guy is out of form.
Am I still the only guy to get off the mark?
Yes.
Oh dear.
Absolutely. If you want to play Beat the Pundit tonight, 01419511025. Something to note: the last time that Hugh Keevans swapped away from his Friday night and came on during the week, he got a 10. It might be an omen. It might mean it'll never happen again. But let us know right now, and the lines close at 7.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Simon Donnelly are here. Hugh and I are on until just before 8. Simon's on till quarter past since he missed the start of the show due to traffic. If you want to get your calls in, please do. We are reacting to the signing of Kelechi Iheanacho, asking you Celtic fans what you make of it. Is it someone you think can come in and help you up front? Is it an act of desperation, as others have called it? How are you now looking back on the window with a bit of time to reflect on it? We still had other moves though yesterday as well. Stuart Armstrong, I'm interested in that one, to Aberdeen. If there's anything else you want to discuss on the transfer window, please do. We've had an update of sorts from Rangers today, where Kevin Thelwell gave an in-house interview speaking about a number of topics that have been on the minds of the Rangers fans this season. So if you want to pick up on that like we did before the news, please do, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Simon Donnelly is in that position. He's Aberdeen, actually. That's what he is. Three games, no wins, yep. Desperate to get off the mark.
Need to get off the mark. Need to get off the mark tonight.
Desperate.
Should it be me?
We'll wait and see. Hugh Keevans, no such issues. 2 from 2. You've got a 10 in there.
Oh,
good. You're flying. Absolutely flying. Adam's on the line from Johnston. How are you, Adam?
Doing well, thanks.
And it says on here, Adam, and I love it. It's usually caller's name, brackets, what team they support. Yours just says Johnston Borough.
Aye.
How annoyed do you get when people say, who's your big team? Because I'm not going to do it.
Johnston Borough's a big
exactly.
team.
Exactly. Good answer. Scottish Junior Cup holders, no less.
Yes. A fine day.
How was the day and night out after that one?
I thought we remember. Very good.
Got a few well-known names there, of course. I think Kyle Lafferty, a lot of headlines. Is Graham Dorran still there?
Pardon, what was that?
I said a lot of big names. You know, you've had Kyle Lafferty. Is Graham Dorran still there, or is he gone?
No, Doran's left just before the final last year.
That's right.
But with a couple of new players coming in, McShane came in through
that's
the summer.
That's right, yeah.
Their manager's a golf friend of mine.
Oh, is he?
Yep, Murdy McKinnon.
There you go. Is he doing a good job?
Aye.
Aye, sort of.
Just won the cup. Just the cup.
He's got a cup, isn't he?
Now, I should really remember this, because I did the first round draw of the Scottish Cup the other night. And I can't remember what stage. Are you still in it? Who did you get again?
We get through.
I know you did, but I can't even remember. Listen, I'm going to.
Did you draw Cumnock against Stock and Leck as well?
Well, I don't put my hand. Right. I don't tickle the balls.
But that was the draw.
Yeah, Dylan McGeoch did that, but that was the draw. Yeah, Stock and Leck, Cumnock, first round of the Scottish Cup.
Tasty tight.
All leave cancelled.
I was going to apologise to Adam for not remembering who Johnston Borough got, but it's 60 balls at this stage.
Yeah.
It's 30 ties. It is. I just go home and lie in a darkened room after it. But
I think
anyway,
we should send DL to Cumnock and Auchinleck.
Absolutely. The mayor of Ayrshire.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right. What we'll do here is toss this coin, Adam. I'm still waiting for a listener to win and choose the commemorative Money Can't Buy coin as their prize. If it's the blue side, it will be Hugh Keevans. If it's the red side, it will be Simon Donnelly. He's got a chance again. It's Simon Donnelly once more. Yeah, you must be happy with that, Adam.
Here comes the coin, Adam.
Aye, aye.
Right, good. There's one question in here that's an absolute rascal. Considering that you're under time pressure, this is a rascal, and right. I can't wait to do it. You ready? Right, let's give Simon something else to listen to. 30 seconds, Adam. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Cool.
Right, your time starts now. Stuart Armstrong started his career at which club? Adam, where are you? Hello, Adam. Can you hear us? Oh, right. Scrap this. We need to start again. This is unheard of. This is a disaster. This is an absolute disaster.
What's happening?
You couldn't hear any of that. So Adam just couldn't hear me. Adam's gone. So I'm just asking questions to nobody. Either that, he's away to Google them and come back. But I only asked him one question, and then it just disappeared.
He's away.
Adam, are you still there?
Still there, can you hear me?
Right, let's try again. Back to where you were, Simon and Hugh. Same
back
set
to the
of questions.
Isley brothers.
Adam, you ready?
Hello?
Adam, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Good. Your time starts now? Stuart Armstrong started his career at which club?
Dundee United.
How many of the current Scotland squad play in Italy?
Five.
Tony Docherty has just been appointed manager of which club?
Bath.
What nationality is Youssef Chermiti?
Belgian.
Spell Iheanacho.
I-H-E-N-A-I-C. Don't know.
Who preceded Stephen Robinson as St Mirren manager?
Bath.
Who brought in more players this window, Rangers or Celtic?
Rangers.
Okay, Simon Donnelly, can you hear us? Are you back? Yes, maybe. Good.
Oh, a lot of joviality there. I was looking over you.
No, it's that good question. I just can't wait to hear it.
Watch me fail at it. Right.
Are you ready? 30 seconds Let's on go. The clock. Your time starts now. Stuart Armstrong started his career at which club?
Dundee United.
How many of the current Scotland squad play in Italy?
Three.
Tony Docherty has been appointed manager of which club?
Ross County.
What nationality is Youssef Chermiti?
French.
Spell Iheanacho.
I-N-A-C-H-E-O.
Who preceded Stephen Robinson as St Mirren manager?
You've knocked me out of sync. Pass.
Who has brought in more players in this window, Rangers or Celtic?
Celtic.
Adam, what do you think?
Shocker by myself.
They were quite tough, some of them. Let's go through them. Stuart Armstrong started his career at Dundee United. You both got it. How many of the current Scotland squad play in Italy? None of you got four. McTominay, Gilmore, Adams, Ferguson. Oh, no. What did you say?
I said three.
What did you say, Adam?
Five.
Hello, Mr. Producer, Lennon Miller. Anybody?
Yeah, exactly. Five, yeah.
Got to be. I mean, I know he's not played yet, but you would have him as playing.
I'll
in Italy.
He's a signed player with Udinese.
Come on. Anyway, right, he goes one up. Tony Docherty has been appointed Ross County manager. Simon equalises. Youssef Chermiti, Portuguese, apparently. Didn't realise that myself. Spell Iheanacho. Do you know what's incredible? Adam was really close.
Oh, yeah.
Adam just got to the end and then panicked. You were miles off it.
There's no C in it.
I'm going to surprise you. No, what is it?
Then?
You ready? I H E A N A C H O. Adam was genuinely nearly there and then just tailed off. Who preceded Stephen Robinson as St Mirren manager? Jim Goodwin. So it's level at 2-2. So it all comes down to the 50-50. Who's brought in more players in this window, Rangers or Celtic? Simon went Celtic. Adam went Rangers.
Rangers.
14, I think that includes Cortez, I think 13, 14 to 11. Unbelievable.
Told you we were getting the coin, Adam.
You're never going to win, ever again. That's what I'm starting to worry about.
McCormack.
You're never ever going to win. That's, honestly. Adam, please tell me. No pressure, it is up to you, but you have the choice of the sign ball or the new collector's item, beat the pundit coin. What are you going for?
Can they both sign the coin for me?
Yes, we'll put signatures in the coin. Does that seem fair?
I don't know how we do it, but
more than great.
Well, we'll either try it or we'll put a wee bit of paper or something in. So you take the coin?
Aye.
Yes, we'll finally I say that as if we're selling them. But well done, Adam. And who are Johnston Borough playing this weekend?
We've got Arthurley away.
We'll look forward to that one. Right, enjoy yourself, Adam. Appreciate you getting in touch.
No, thanks, guys.
Good
much
man. There we go.
Cheers, Adam.
We've finally got a winner. We've finally given one of the coins away, and Simon Donnelly still cannot buy a
still
win.
On a zero.
You're going to be lying, trying to get to sleep tonight, trying to spell Iheanacho.
I've written it down there as well. It's nothing like what I've written down.
Disappointed in you for the who's brought in more players. It was just, I know there's not that much in it, but it was always going to. Did you do, were you thinking a
no,
double
not
bluff?
Really. I just thought Celtic had brought in a few that haven't really featured. I thought maybe
Rangers.
So how many have Celtic brought in? 11.
Full rebuild. Yeah.
Rangers 14.
Oh dear. Anyway, I think it Rangers is 13, isn't it? It's 14. It depends if you include Cortes, you know, to be technical about it turning permanent. Yeah. I think that's maybe the grey area. Don't forget everybody who goes.
And see, if you weren't a Motherwell fan, you would have not remembered Lennon.
No, I'm a Scotland fan though. First and foremost, that's a lie. But
brought that in there and that got him that crucial point.
I know, sorry about that. But listen, we've got accuracy. We've got standards to maintain in here. Don't forget everybody who calls to make a point to the panel. has a chance of winning tickets to Air Race Courses as well. You're in the hat if you come through and make a point to the panel tonight. So please do that. John's going to go in the hat. John, how are you?
Yes, not bad, not bad.
What are you thinking tonight, John?
So I had a theory yesterday, and after listening to the Stelwell interview, I just wanted to get your thoughts on whether or not the club are actually playing a blinder with the whole Raskin situation. Now, obviously, as fans over the last few years, we've, you know, said we can't let the Morelos and Kent situation happen again, where, you know, players are holding all the cards, running down their contracts and then leaving for free, you know, when we've invested money and developed them. I'm curious to know if the Raskin situation is actually stemming from the fact that he won't commit to the club. And because it is a World Cup year and he has, you know, just broke into the Belgium team, you know, there was a couple of late approaches apparently from, was it Wolves in Copenhagen or something, that were kind of thrown out by the club. And I'm curious to know if in actual fact, you know, I'm quite against the whole Russell Martin thing. I don't think it started really well. But as our biggest asset, he might actually be playing a blinder by...
Right, hold on, John. Hold on. I like a good theory as much as the next guy. But how could this possibly be a blinder? He left Nicholas Raskin out of the Celtic game at the weekend. Had Rangers lost that game, he would be 9 points behind and he would be in a world of pain, Russell Martin. There's no way that is all some sort of clever, calculated way to make it all turn out well in the end. Surely not.
Right, okay. Let's assume that Raskin didn't come out the team, right? He stays in the team, he has a great season, he goes to the World Cup, he has a great tournament, and then clubs are going to come in and buy him when he's got a year left in his contract, and you're maybe going to get 8 or 10 million for him. So I actually think it might be a strategy by the club to get him to commit to a new contract, because he knows that if the club take him out of the first team, his position with Belgium is at risk.
I've heard of overthinking things, but you've won the prize, John. I see it all in far more simplistic terms. By all accounts, it is alleged that Nico Raskin's a bit gobby. By all accounts, Russell Martin can be a bit gobby. And there's only room for one gobby person in the dressing room. So Nico Raskin and the manager don't see eye to eye, and at the moment, they're not speaking to each other. When this is all over, the international break, they will speak to each other.
Let's hear what Kevin Thirlwell had to say, if you don't mind. It seems a good time to introduce, because he was asked again in this interview today how this plays out.
He's away on international duty now. So from to my mind, what happens is he goes on international duty, he comes back as a Rangers player, and when he comes back, Russell and I sit down with Nico and talk about what we do next. And again, it's very, very important that we all understand that we all want the same thing. We all want a better Rangers team. We all want a stronger Rangers team, and we all want a winning Rangers team. And I think it's also important to make the point that this year is a very important year for Nico. You know, he's a terrific player. He's obviously a full Belgium international. He's got a World Cup coming up, and I'm sure he's going to want to be a strong part of that. And so him doing his best for Rangers and playing as well for Rangers is going to be important to him. And of course, it's going to be important to us. So, conversation to be had in due course.
Because that's the thing, Hugh. I get that this might turn out okay, and maybe they kiss and make up, and maybe he comes back in because Nicholas Raskin will want to put himself in a good footing heading into a World Cup. I don't know about that next bit, John. How you think this is like deliberate from the start? I mean, it was a mess at the weekend. Russell Martin saying, trying to sort of pretend that he did train when people then very quickly found out that he trained away from the group. It's caused the sort of message to get out there that Nicholas Raskin's some sort of problem and that he says too much. You've got Neil McCann then on Sky at the weekend talking about how he can be difficult and he speaks out. I don't know, how can this be by design, John? It might turn out okay in the end, but that would be by accident almost, surely.
I think from Russell Martin's point of view, he's actually kind of, you know, hitting two birds with one stone, right? Because by taking Raskin out the team, and he is about a bit mouthy, right? He's cementing his position. You know, like you say, there's not enough room in the dressing room for two voices. That's the first thing he's doing. But the second thing he's doing is he's basically potentially, I'm guessing here, but he's basically saying, if you're not committed to the cause, you know, that contract's been on the table for a couple of months. I don't know if you remember the the Dujon Sterling comment on Instagram or whatever, where it said sign the contract. There's obviously been a contract sitting there for 2 or 3 months. He's no signed it. He's not committed to the club. And I just think Russell Martin and the club might be playing a, like I say, they might be playing a blinder by
first of all. First of all, here,
commit John, or commit the team.
John, he's one of, if not the best player that Rangers have. So the sooner that he and Russell Martin sit down in the room and it is agreed that a dressing room is part of the workplace and Russell Martin is the gaffer in the workplace, so Nico Raskin will just have to learn to tone down his gobbiness, and then he'll go back into the Rangers team. All will be well. He'll look to get into the Belgian World Cup squad, etc., etc. And then his contract will be decided at a later date. But Rangers can't have a well-paid employee sitting there until next May doing nothing. So they have to come together. As Simon knows, that's why managers are called gaffers in this country, because it's a workplace and he's the gaffer, and to a certain extent you have to abide by his rules.
Yeah, I'll meet John somewhere, Simon. They're going to have to sort this out, really, because it suits nobody now. For from now until January, Nicholas Raskin can't continue to be a problem if he is, yeah, because it will kill his chances of making the World Cup in Belgium.
Yes.
It might put off potential suitors going forward.
Going elsewhere.
Russell Martin, there's the PR bit, there's the fact that he's a good player. What's the point in him sitting wasting away? So do you see it having some sort of reconciliation?
I do, but that's where Russell Martin's in that position. That's part of management as well. You can talk about tactics and analysis and all that, but it's about man management as well. There's obviously something happened after the Bruges game, whether there was something boiling before that. Obviously his father took to social media, there was a disgruntlement there that he wasn't playing, and there probably has been a bit of a fallout. I can see it from Russell Martin's point of view, because he's the manager, he's having to put his foot down, show who's in charge. But it's risky. It is risky, and you have to find a balance, because I agree with you, Cherney and Raskin, I think, were Rangers' best performers last season. Getting into a big game against Celtic, it was risky. But I think now the little bit of time away with international duty might suit all parties, let it calm down a little bit. And as the guy Thirlwell said there, they have to address it when he comes back, because it's important for Rangers to get Nico Raskin operating and doing what he should be doing, and that's playing football in the middle of the park for Rangers.
How do you feel now that the dust has settled in the transfer window, John? We know Raskin won't go, Chermiti's in, it's a massive fee. Anything else that jumped out at you from the window?
No, for me, the highlight was actually keeping Raskin, because I do believe he is our best player, and that was the one I was really dreading, because I think if he had left, you know, you're basically taking the three biggest assets and letting them go. Obviously, we lost Essers, Eggman and Raskin in terms of last year. That was where we had a lot of goals and dominance through the middle of the park. So when he stayed, it did give me that, well, at least we've got another 6 months to hopefully try and get him on a new contract, get him back playing. Hopefully the manager can, you know, start to turn the results around, the team starts to perform, and hopefully Raskin's a bit happier.
Good man. Thank you very much to John. 0141 951 1025. Plenty more time for your calls. Any Aberdeen fans out there want to talk Stuart Armstrong, Kevin Nisbet, Jesper Karlsson? Seemed like quite an impressive end to the window. Give us your thoughts. We'll speak to you next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans is here, so is Simon Donnelly, and they're waiting on you to get in touch, whether it is day two reaction from the transfer deadline day. It's not really day two as well, because Iheanacho was just signed yesterday. How do you spell that again?
It's
on the screen now, you can cheat. Stuart Armstrong's been signed, there's business still being done, so give us your thoughts on all of that and whatever else tickles your fancy. Kevin Thelwell has given an interview about Russell Martin and Raskin and loans and the English market and left backs and various other things today. So if anything jumped out for you from that, give us a call. How about this teaser for you two?
Mm-hmm.
Connor in Straven has sent it in. Very topical as well. Very impressed. He says, can you name 10 players who made top flight appearances for Everton and Rangers since 2000? So 10 players who made top flight appearances for Everton and Rangers since 2000.
Patterson.
Yes.
Barry Ferguson.
No.
Oh,
that was Birmingham and Blackburn, not Everton.
Ah, wrong blue jerseys.
Exactly.
Davy Weir.
Yep. He's redeeming himself now, Hugh, after that being the pundit disaster.
Only get to 2,000.
So, obviously, Chermiti not yet, but perhaps in the future. Yeah. Who are the other 10 since 2000? Top flight appearances, Davy Weir, Nathan Patterson. Oh, dear, it's a bit early for that silence.
Duncan Ferguson.
Oh, no, not since 2000. That would be a... Maybe I hit the post answer from you.
Durant? He before?
He wore left Rangers in 98. Oh. So again, you're getting closer.
Gary Steven?
No, 2000 onwards. 2000 onwards. Okay, listen, I'll give you some thinking time. Thanks again to Connor. I can see that. Thanks again to Connor and Straven for sending it into fulltime at Clyde1.com. Fulltime at Clyde1.com. Get your answers in. Please get your questions in. Sorry, it's these two that have to come up with the answers.
Uh-huh.
It's been a tough night on the quizzing front. Spell any actual, honestly. William is on the line. How are you, William?
Good evening, guys. How are we doing?
Good, good, William. What are you thinking?
Just on something that you said, it's actually 53. Goals that we've lost rather than 73.
I did wonder. I was trying to count them up.
A wee minor point, to go on about the back or the bit of a shambles at Celtic. I think every Celtic fan knows how Celtic work, and for me, I think Brendan has to take some of the blame, because over the two spells that he's been with Celtic, the recruitment hasn't been good enough. So you could go back even through Neil Lennon and all the rest of the managers. Over the two spells that Brendan's been in charge, the recruitment's not been good enough. So whether it's to do with the board, or I don't think Brendan is totally blameless in that scenario.
Correct, yeah.
I do think that is obviously fair, because managers take their share of everything. I wonder, though, William, has this not just been such an extreme example where you've got the manager standing saying, We can't sell Adam Eder unless we bring in a striker, and that's exactly what happens, albeit Iheanacho's in now. It still feels a bit more extreme than just what it has before, does it not?
I think especially when Brendan's been saying it all since the start of the season, but I think going out of the Champions League, he had the players to get through that tie, and I still think. It goes, even though the money that was spent on the players from last season, I think you've got to say that he had the players to get through the Champions League. So, and it keeps going back to the tried and tested. So that's more to do with the team that he picks than actually the recruitment. But I just think that even going back to last season, bringing Mikey Johnson back into the team, and leaving Rocco Vatter out, and then Rocco Vatter leaving. There's wee things that stick in Celtic fans' throats with decisions like that, and they're more football reasons rather than board decisions and recruitment decisions. You know, so there's a lot of things that you can still disagree with, even though Brendan has been very successful with Celtic.
I take a lot of what you say on board. You know. Karat Almaty, 311th in the world. A team with players that Celtic had in at Maeda and Hatate and so on and so forth. You really cannot go two games plus extra time in one of them and not score a single goal. So, yeah, that's on the manager and the players.
That still feels to me, Hugh, like two very different things, because we did do that last week. No, I don't think anyone phoned in last week and said none of this is on Brendan Rodgers. He's a saint. He doesn't deserve any praise.
Yeah.
But the stuff about the transfer window is like big picture stuff, structural stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the strategy of the club and how you can sell big assets, not replace them. It just feels bigger than Brendan Rodgers. I think that's why he's... Put it this way, how many Celtic fans have you seen in the last 2 days say, I'd forgive Brendan Rodgers if he walked out tomorrow morning?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I see them all the time. I mean, I'm a pedestrian, as you always say, and I can't walk the streets now because every Celtic fan stops me and says what you've just said there. beggars belief that since January, when Kyogo left, until now in September, that Celtic have watched this decline in quality and have not properly addressed it. And therefore, that has to be down to a collective, and that must include Paul Tisdale, head of recruitment. It must include Brendan Rodgers. It must include those within the hierarchy. Is it Michael Nicholson, the chief executive, whoever? It's a collective responsibility, and it's been a collective failure.
William?
I do agree. I think it's a collective failure. I think it's, I mean, yesterday, I mean, that's just unforgivable, letting Eder go without a replacement. And that does go to a problem. That goes to a bigger problem, not just a recruitment problem. That goes to a much bigger problem. Mm. So you can see that, and a lot of Celtic fans can see that. And even though we've scrambled and we've brought in the guy today, I still think that it's because it's been happening for years. That's why the Celtic fans are disappointed. I don't think, and pointing the finger, but I think it's, as you say, it's like more of a collective, and I don't think Brendan should get an easy ride over
it. No, we're not attempting to give him one either, but it's a funny thing with Celtic and the transfer market. I mean, they have made untold fortunes from their excellent work in the transfer market. They have uncovered gems, and at the same time they've uncovered dross. It's either diamonds or dross with them.
I think getting into those two games as well, I agree with William. Celtic do have the quality to go through that time. Yeah. They should have, definitely. But I keep using the word flat, and you talk about the goals that they've lost out that team. And they got no disrespect to the guys that played in those. But you look at these guys last year, they were kind of impact players that were coming on. Kun, Kyogo, and Tui, he moved on, and Jack, they were predominantly, that was the strike force. And to lose that amount of goals, and you've no replaced
back,
it yet.
Go back to that phrase that I used earlier, though. This is about, are Celtic the best version of themselves? Benchmark it against yourself.
Yeah.
Where you are, where you were, where you want to be. Because Balakwisha, Tonetki are in now, but they weren't in for the Almaty game.
No.
So a few different things can all be true at once. Should that team have beaten Cara Almaty? Yes.
Yep.
Would they have had a better chance if they had signed two new wingers? Still, yes. I think that's allowed to coexist.
William is quite right not to exonerate Brendan Rodgers entirely. However, how many times did Brendan Rodgers have to say, it's about arithmetic, or it's the timing of investment? Periodically, he was there and diplomatically pointing out to everyone, they're too slow, I'm not getting the number of players that I need, and this is going backwards. But there was no response until the Champions League was denied Celtic.
Okay, thank you very much to William. I wondered, Simon, because there were obvious priorities here, the number nine position was like massive. That was the glaring one. We spoke about wingers. I think most people accept Celtic are fine in midfield. They had brought a left back in. Who really knows how that is going to look now, because there are still questions about Kieran Tierney's fitness. There's a story emerging in the Scottish Sun tonight that Tony Ralston's about to pull out the Scotland squad injured. Why was there not more made of that area?
How many
times did I say to you, they need to sign a replacement for Alistair Johnson, because it's the damage that can be done when he's not there 12 weeks without him. And now, wouldn't you know it, the only one left, Anthony Ralston, has got an injury.
Listen,
as well,
it might be minor, right, and he might be fine, but just for I can only go on what's there. Listen, it'd be nice to see Colby Donovan get a chance. We're always championing young Scottish players getting a chance.
And the kid had a good pre-season.
He looked all right when he came on against Karata.
He actually did, he did. And, you know, the fans always like to see young players come in. Young Dane Murray's played well as well when he's come into the back four. But, Alistair Johnson's a huge miss. He's been a big player. When you look at that right-hand side last season with all that success, it was Alistair Johnson and Kun on that right-hand side.
I'll tell you who's been a massive loss as well. Greg Taylor.
Mm.
The energy that he brought to that Celtic team. He was never fully appreciated by all of the Celtic support, but my, they miss him now.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Give us a call, 01419511025. You can send the guys a tweet as well, at Clyde SSB. Mark is on. What's your point, Mark?
Good evening, gents.
Hello,
Mark.
Yeah, I just want to talk about the absolute mess that Celtic have made in the last two or three weeks in the transfer window. Probably like every other caller that's called in this evening, I've got my own ideas of what's needed and what has to be done now. And I just want to put that across to you. Like,
go for it.
Right. So straight away, Celtic are a very successful Scottish team, right? They're the most successful Scottish team. They're the most dominant Scottish team. Now, that's a given, right? Right now it is, okay? Maybe not this season, but in the past it has been. But they don't, in my opinion, they don't operate like a big side anymore. I think that most of the big clubs in Europe, and we're talking about even, we're talking about Premier League, we're talking about European football, have a director of football in charge of the football affairs, and the manager or the coach underneath him, he manages the team, coaches the team, helps with picking the players, but the director of football is there to do that. The Celtic don't have, as far as I'm aware, I could be wrong, they don't have one of them. So Paul Disdale is a, as far as I'm allowed to believe, he's more of a, like a head scout, head player, goes and watches players. He's got the same kind of, something similar to the thing that Tony Bloom does, similar, you know, at Hearts and at Brighton. So they don't have a director of football. That leaves the CEO with all the transfer dealings. In my opinion, that's where Celtic have been failing for the last 3 or 4 years. Very good at taking money in, extremely good at taking money in, and taking money off the supporters and merchandising and tickets. Extremely good at that. But absolutely woeful at bringing in players. Not so much bringing in players, but bringing them in at the right time. You know, if Celtic and want to make Scottish football better in Europe, you know, we've got to do the business properly in Europe. We've got to do the business properly transfer-wise. Now, the big guy they brought in, Iheanacho, I've got every faith in the two wingers they brought in, especially the one they brought in yesterday. I know they paid a wee bit over the odds for him, but I've got a lot of faith in him. I think he's highly rated, and I'm willing to give him a chance, just like everybody else should. The big striker they brought in for nothing, you know, it's a Hail Mary, and it really is a Hail Mary you're looking for. Somebody who can turn it back on. Now, Brendan Rodgers is a guy who can do that, that's great, but Celtic as a club at the R shouldn't have been in that position. We shouldn't have been in a position where we're needing to buy players in the last minute of the window while sitting on £100 million and taking more money in constantly.
It's an interesting point about structure and whether this window has been so bad that it will accelerate change, because to be accurate about it, Mark asked, Paul Tisdale is the head of football operations. Now, there are a kind of number of these roles. They do different things: sporting director, director of football. We, I think, took a bit of time to get used to this in Scotland. Like everything, we're a bit cynical about everything. We go, oh, do you really need that? I remember the day when the manager was in charge and did everything. But it's 2025. The vast, vast, vast majority, I think possibly every single club in the English Premier League, I could be wrong, have a sporting director or a director of football. You do wonder if the dissatisfaction amongst the Celtic fans is such here that it would accelerate some sort of change towards that structure.
I think it's an interesting point
maybe just an explanation of how things are working.
Well, today, right, again, we said it earlier, it won't satisfy everybody, but Rangers are getting a lot of heat. They've started the season badly. They've done a lot of transfer business. So Kevin Thelwell speaks. He oversees that, and he has then obviously... Because, by the way, Kevin Thelwell is also in charge of overseeing women's team, academy teams. You know, it's a big title.
Maybe that bit of dialogue would explain to the fans, you know, the frustrated fans, how difficult it might be.
Hugh's
shaking his head, I know, because somebody else said
that's
earlier
what I mean,
on.
Then maybe a structural
to
change.
To bring in the three PSG strikers when they change, but a bit of explanation, maybe, why it's taking that time.
If the hierarchy are reluctant to speak, and... put your hand up if you've ever heard Michael Nicholson speak. I think he spoke, cracked a joke at an AGM a couple of years ago, and that's it, folks. So maybe a flaw has been located in the Celtic structure, and a Kevin Thelwell type figure is needed there as well. But right now, the Celtic fans are in torment. There's unrest.
Have you seen the statement today? Did you see that? Because it kind of leads into that. So there's a kind of joint statement being put out by, it's signed by the Celtic Trust, the Green Brigade, the North Curve Celtic, Boys Celtic, and also all the fan media accounts. So all of them, Celtic Underground, Dascom, Celtic Exchange, The Cynic, and so on, you know. Yeah. And they've all put out a statement together basically saying, disastrous window, calling for urgent action, demand full transparency from the board, demand accountability, what will be, what action will be taken to make sure it doesn't happen again. And they've then got a sort of bullet points. They say our questions for Michael Nicholson, Chris Mackay, Peter Lowell and Dermot Desmond are, and amongst them, what's the club's long-term footballing strategy? When and how will this be communicated to supporters? And the third one, which I just wanted to skip ahead and bring up because, the fourth one, how do you intend to modernise the club's structure to compete in Europe, and why are we consistently underprepared for the qualification stages? Is that what all that is alluding to, this sort of stuff?
I can understand why the various groups have got together, and it's a perfectly legitimate series of questions to ask, but Celtic don't respond to their fans unless it's the AGM, and under the laws relating to corporate governance, they have to speak to shareholders. But Celtic will not respond to that or any other statement that comes out.
For what it's worth, Simon, I can imagine people within Celtic going, we've done just fine without a sporting director. Have you seen the trophy cabinet? Did you see the Champions League last season? So I would totally respect that. Then on the other hand, some people would say, yeah, but you just can't do that forever. And at some point, the, you know, structure might have to change.
I said at the top of the show, under this board, the club's been hugely successful, but, you know, fans want to see progress every year. They had the taste of the Champions League last year. They want it every year, and that's a huge disappointment. And I can understand, you know, the frustration there and that kind of open letter type thing. But maybe there is a bit of dialogue needed.
Okay, thank you, Mark. We'll take more of your calls when we return. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Been a quick show that. Hugh Keevans and Simon Donnelly are here. We're almost done. You could squeeze a call in though, so please get it over to us if you're that way inclined. Connor and Straven sent a belter of a teaser in, very topical as well. Can you name the 10 players who've made top flight appearances for Rangers and Everton since 2000? It's obviously a tribute or a nod to Yusuf Chirmiti's signing. You've got Davy Weir and Nathan Patterson.
Francis Jeffers.
Yeah, the fox in the box. Well done.
Naismith.
Stephen Naismith, well done.
Michael Ball.
Yep.
Michael Arteta.
That the boy, the singer. Is that the guy for Les Mis? No, the other one.
It's a Michael Ball, I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. You just
Love Will Conquer All or something.
Jelavic.
Yes, well done.
Three to get.
Four. Did you say
Michael Arteta?
Yes, Arteta. Three to get. You're right. Okay. They are two Englishmen and a European. I'll give you that. Don't know if that helps. Okay. Gav is on. How are you, Gav?
No bad, how are you?
Good. All good here. What are you thinking?
It was more so the Kevin Fairwell kind of, I don't even know what I call that, but when he was going on about the loans and saying it's a try before you buy, then why did they get somebody, a 21-year-old who's not scored any senior goals, and go say, that's, there you go, there's £10 million. But well, up to £10 million rather than try them out. Because I think that the people who are, surely they're scouts on the loans to let them know if they're good enough. And I understand the fact that they want to take a kind of, not so much a negative approach, but a kind of a financial approach on it. But the same thing happened with Ryan Kent as well. And it's like the wheels fell off after he was a ball player.
See, in fairness though, Gav, I think what Kevin Fairwell was trying to explain as to why sometimes you have to take different approaches, and he was talking about how loans can be beneficial in a try before you buy. If Rangers are getting stick for having too many loans already, and you're now calling for Chirmiti to be a loan as well, is that not a little bit sort of hypocritical?
No, but I'm glad they've actually got somebody in that's hopefully going to score a few goals, and nothing regarding the boy, because obviously I never heard of him before he actually came to Rangers. But I'm hoping he does well. But you would think that they would, if they were going to spend £10 million, they would do it on a proven goal scorer.
I can understand Gav's point.
Sure.
It's a huge gamble. At a time when the fans are uneasy about just about everything, about the head coach, about the quality of the players who've come into the club, and to spend what is the second highest ever incoming transfer, it's a massive gamble.
But he worked with him at Everton, that he brought him in at Everton.
Thelwell did,
right?
Yeah.
So
I think that's why it's funny, because that's clearly why they've done it.
Aye.
But in the way we work here in Glasgow, that's making people even more cynical. Do you know what I mean? As if to say, like, what's good? Why have you paid this money for this guy? Yeah. You know, they clearly think they can get a tune out of him. I mean, obviously, that goes without saying.
Yeah, and look, listen, Everton, no disrespect to Rangers, you're probably looking at players
who can't make it in English Premier League.
Double the price of this lad.
You would think, for example, when we get out of this international break, Rangers versus Hearts at Ibrox. I mean, you can't get more welcoming a fixture than that after the international break. You would think, if he's the second highest incoming transfer in the history of the club, you would assume he'll start the game against Hearts.
And Miovski won't.
Yeah.
But then, last season, Adam Ida wasn't ahead of Kyogo Wait. He might have cost more. You know, football isn't always that simple.
Yeah.
But, and I put this to Andy Halliday the other night, and he sort of disagreed. He said, if you're paying 8 to 10 million, he's coming in to be the number one striker.
Yep.
I can see it for both sides, but as you say, Ida came in 9 million, he wasn't the number one striker until Kyogo left.
Or if Miovski starts,
and even then,
people will then say, what, so he's the second highest incoming transfer ever and he doesn't play?
Well, it is exactly what we saw with Ida and Engels last season, isn't it? Because people say, it's not the player's fault for the fee, stop mentioning the fee, but you can't, nobody will stop.
Yeah.
You won't stop mentioning the fee. I don't know, Gav, have you got, aside from the fact about the loan or the permanent, the fee, how are you feeling about it now?
But in regards to the Raskin Martin situation, I totally understand if Nico's took a pop at Russell Martin and he's put him in his place, because at the end of the day it's his gaffer, it's his boss. But when Russell Martin says no man is bigger than a club, Nico Raskin is so much bigger than Rothwell.
Yeah, just in terms of what he can do on the park, they have to sort this out.
Bearing in mind, all of a sudden, Conor Barron went ahead of Joe Rothwell in the pecking order on Sunday. So it'll be interesting to see what Russell Martin
took from that game. Football. You go back to that St Mirren game where Egerman blatantly refused to come on.
You see his debut at the weekend?
Aye, he scores two goals.
Looked like
R9. It's that side of football where you have to weigh up what's best for the team. I think the way he treated Egerman was, if somebody's refusing to play for the club, there's obviously something went on with Raskin, but not to that extent. And now that the international duty fortnight's there, allow the dust to settle a bit, and then management, as I said earlier on.
Gav, you're a good man. We appreciate you taking the time tonight. Always a pleasure. Let's finish with the teaser. After Youssef Chermiti's signing, can you name 10 players who made top flight appearances for Everton and Rangers since 2000? Mikel Arteta, Stephen Naismith, Michael Ball, Davy Weir, Francis Jeffers, Nathan Patterson, Nikita Jelovic.
Kinchelskis.
He was 1997 at Everton.
So steady, yes.
Stood in the ball against Gordon Diallo. That's all you need to remember.
Was that against the National?
Of course it was. He was the manager.
All right.
Right, clue time.
Yep.
So one of them is still at Rangers, but he made two Everton appearances in 2015-16 that you will be unaware of. Who might it be? Because you won't remember it.
The goalie?
No. Much maligned figure.
It's not Tavernier, is it?
No. A figure of much debate this season. Manager showing too much faith in him at the start of the season. Fans booed him on to the pitch, did they not?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Dowell. Kieran Dowell, okay. Right, English striker, Rangers, Everton, obviously Southampton is his other club. Remember him? Big striker.
Beattie.
Yes, James Beattie. And the other one, best known, if you can call it that, in a Rangers jersey for getting sent off in the Joey Barton, Moussa Dembele hat-trick 5-1 game.
Oh.
Say, similar haircut to Jim Duffy.
Senderos.
Philip Senderos. Well done, Hugh Keevans. Thank you, Simon Donnelly. He's staying for another 10 minutes because he was late at the start of the show. But we appreciate your time. We're back at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Have a good night.